Real quick, Proverbs chapter 3, verse 5. And these scriptures are familiar to you, but once again, I always like to say, don't put your revelation on or what you've known before now, because if you do, you might not learn nothing, learn anything new. So Proverbs chapter 3, right at verse 5. Hope you'll turn it. It's familiar scripture to you. And he says this, trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding. Verse 6, in all thy ways, how many? All thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. Now in this conversation, and leave that scripture up for a minute, we're talking about ways and we're talking about paths. Ways and paths, all right? So in all thy ways, so all the ways that you have, acknowledge him. Okay, so take your ways and acknowledge God. Mm-hmm. And he shall direct thy path. So and, it doesn't mean, it doesn't say but, doesn't cancel out everything else. It means those things go together. You are taking your ways and acknowledging who he is causes your path to be directed, all right? Now we're going to work on something in a minute. Go over to John chapter 14. And I'll tell you something that the Lord told me this morning, just randomly, which is kind of how he talks sometimes. Or it may seem random to you, but he had it planned out the whole time. John chapter 14. Starting off at verse 1, let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would not have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, you know. And the way, you know. You see that word way again. Let's find ourselves right here in verse 5. Thomas said to him, Lord, we know not whither thou goest. How can we know the way? Verse 6, and Jesus said to him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. If you had known me, you should have known my Father also. And from henceforth, you know him and have seen him. Now, I don't have time to go back, but if you go back to chapter 5, Jesus started talking about my Father works, so I work too. And then after that, they got upset with him because he called God his Father. And then they described it real simple. They upset with him because he called God his Father, making him equal with God. So now we see when you say Father, you're talking equality. When you say you're a son, you're talking equality. This is no longer a conversation or an action, but it is an identity. Listen to what I'm saying. So back to John 5, he says they got upset with him because he called God his Father, making him equal with God. So right here, we see the understanding in verse 7, if you had known me, you should have known the Father. Also, and from henceforth you know him and have seen him. Verse 8, there we go again. Let's find ourselves in verse 8. Philip said to him, Lord, show us the Father, it sufficeth us. Jesus, have I been so long time with you and yet thou hast not known me, Philip? Mm-hmm. He that has seen me has seen the Father. How sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believe thou not that I am in the Father and the Father in me? Is a question now. The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the work. Hold on, the Father lives where? He dwells where? He lives where? In me. He doeth the work. The Father lives in me. He's not living somewhere else. He lives in me, and that he is doing the work.
That's right.
Okay? These words, paths, ways, works. Okay? Verse 11, believe me that I am in the Father, mm-hmm, and the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verse 12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also, and greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Verse 13, and whatever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. And if you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. Now you got to connect these last three scriptures, talking about the works that I do, you do also, to the one he says, when you see me, you see the Father. Mm-hmm. Because he said, you'll do the same thing that I'm doing. You better say the same things I say. Another scripture, he says, you'll say the same words that I say. I'll give you a mouth in wisdom. So now he's talking identity. He's saying that you'll be able to show the Father just like I am. But the Father, listen, coming to the Father is not a destination, right? It's not a destiny. It's a direction. Mm-hmm. I heard this morning real quick. He said, my will is not a destiny. It's a direction. I said, okay. So I had to chew on that for a while during the day. He said, your faith is not a destiny, it's a direction. Your faith is not for a destiny or a place or a destination. It is a direction. Who you are or my will is a consistent process that goes on.
Yes.
If you find yourself, and I'm going to show you something. We're going to go over to Genesis in a minute. If you find yourself looking for a place, you'll miss the process.
Yeah.
Many of us miss sowing because we're looking for the harvest, or we're doing it for the harvest when we don't understand that the harvest and the seed are the same thing. Different timing, different places along the road, but it is the same thing. But we miss the sowing, which is who we are. You are a seed. We miss our identity by looking for a destiny, by looking for a destination, by looking for a place. Oh, well, if I go over here, I've seen people in life, they move in different directions. They move different places, or they pick up, they root up, and they go to another place because they think that it's not working there. So they're trying to get somewhere else when they realize there or here is not the problem. The problem is right here. And the answer is right here. Now, I want to make it clear, acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I'll direct thy paths. Acknowledge me in all thy ways, and I'll direct thy path. Direct thy path. I like acknowledge me in all thy ways. Well, Jesus right here takes the way from being something that's external or something that's inanimate, you know, like a road. He takes that and brings it into a person. Because now in John 14, 6, he said, I am the way. So that means the way is a person. The way is an identity. The way is not a where, but it is a who. Are you understanding me? So now, okay, Jesus says, I am the way. Well, what way are you? Because obviously you have some ways, but you are some ways. I'll take it home closer. You are some ways that don't acknowledge him in all of them.
Yep, that's right.
That means you have identified yourself as some things that don't acknowledge him in everything.
Uh-huh.
Now understand, acknowledge, he said, in all your ways. So if the way is a who, then in everything that you are, whoever you are, acknowledge him. In other words, acknowledge who he is in who you are.
Right.
And I'll direct who you are, your path. Come on, y'all got to get with me. I'll direct who you are. So now we're taking the ways from being inanimate or outside of me to the way being wherever I am. So when I set my foot there, that's the way. But only when I'm acknowledging him in all of them. Only when I'm acknowledging him in all that I am. Because he says, I am, John 14, 6, Jesus says, I am the way. No man cometh to the equality of the Father or to being like the Father, but by me.
Yeah.
So when you see me, you see who? The Father. And when you see me, you should be seeing you. Because I show you what your relationship and what you look like in relation to the Father. Now, it's very tricky. Because in the beginning, in the book of Genesis, it's very tricky. Deception, the number one deception is a sleight of hand. And it's very tricky to get you to believe that something is somewhere else other than you. Trying to get you to believe that there is something outside of you that can fulfill you on the inside. When I've already been filled with the Holy Ghost. The trick is, so surely you won't die. Oh, he know that if you eat from this fruit, you're going to be just like him. Mm-hmm. Now, where between when the serpent started talking to them and when God created them, did God say that they were somebody different? He made them from the dust. Made it from the dust of the earth, right, and breathed into man, and man became a living soul. He literally put himself inside of man. This scripture says man was made in his image and his likeness. Right. What are we talking about? Yeah. So now, but surely you won't die. They just know if you eat from the fruit, you're going to be just like them. Insinuating that you're not like him already.
Right. Yeah, right.
Now, everything that comes up against you on the outside, and everything is on the outside. Everything comes from the outside. Poverty, sickness and disease, all that comes from the outside. None of it comes from the inside. It tries to get on the inside of you to manifest itself, but it all comes from the outside. It comes from the outside to lie to you about your inside. Poverty is actually a figment of your imagination. It don't even exist. It's just a word that somebody came up with when prosperity wasn't where it's supposed to be.
Right.
Lack ain't even a real thing. There is nothing but abundance. But when you know there's nothing but abundance, you look there, you say, now you call it, oh, let's go find this. Oh, you naked. Like in Genesis. Oh, we hid because we was naked. Naked wasn't even existed.
Right.
It hadn't been invented. Yeah. God didn't say, let there be naked, and there was. It wasn't even there. But here we go now. Because you ate off this tree of knowledge of good and evil. You done ate off this tree of your knowledge. How you want to judge things and my ways. And now, instead of acknowledging him in all my ways, I'm acknowledging the way that I made up. And now I'm creating stuff that don't exist. The boogeyman. It's the boogeyman. We made the man under the bed, the man in the closet. And now you don't even want to put your feet on the floor because you're scared somebody going to grab you. He's not over there. He's not under there. So now we done made something up, right? With our own ways and our own thoughts. And we definitely did not take those thoughts and bring them to the obedience of who? Christ. It didn't say bring them to the obedience of a scripture. God bless the scripture. But even Jesus says, search the scriptures. For in them you think you have life. And they testify, and they will testify of me. And then verse 40 said, but you won't come to me. He's bringing everything back to an identity. Now, I'll hit you with this one earlier before I get to another place. Every direction that God gives you is pointing towards an identity. There is no direction. There is no instruction. There is no nothing that God gives to you or says to you or tells you that is not pointing to an identity first. Even when you're going on that journey, he's pointing you to who you are.
Yep.
Now, depending on how quick you can pick up on what he's trying to do in God's MO. See, God's MO is the identity. God's MO is I am. Uh-huh. God's MO is who I am. That means you can drop me off. I heard apostles say this a lot of times. He said, you can take everything I got, drop me off buck naked in the jungle, and I'll make it happen. Why? Because it's not the place, it is not the destiny, it is direction.
Yeah.
You get it?
Yeah.
And the direction is directing you. It's almost like they told Jesus, say, where's the kingdom of God? Huh. He said, low here. That's a direction, right? Right? Seems like there's a point in a direction, right? He said, low there. No, the kingdom of God is within you. He's directing you to who you really are. When you find out who you really are, you will no longer have to take a journey to Mecca. You will no longer have to go to the Holy Land to think something's going to happen. You will no longer have to be in a... Right now, we're learning. Right now, we've been learning for the last 6 months. We hadn't been able to be in this building. But you better be the building. I heard Leroy Jr. say it all the time. We are the church. So now you got to understand now, when I can't show up and get hands laid on me, I better know my hands are laid on myself.
That's right.
Yeah. When I can't show up and ain't no more holy all to give you now, ain't no more all to get on you now, you got to realize I got the all because I am the all. Mm-hmm. Are you understanding me? But the mindset, the mentality, this is Jesus' whole message. The mindset, the mentality has to change. Because if we continue, you pray, but you pray amiss. You see, but you see men walking as trees, right? Like you kind of see it, but you don't see it because you don't realize the whole time it's been pointing to you. It's been pointing to you to not tell you what your hands should do, but to tell you who you are. If you knew who you are, your hands would react like you are. We've been trying to fix external habits and sins and all these external things. We've been trying to fix them with all these regiments and rules and different things of that nature, and they are all good. But if you don't know where they end up at with you as your identity, then that's why you keep being a repeat offender. Because we don't know that it is I. So that's why it's so dangerous for them to be saying, they think it's so smart, I am an alcoholic. That's dangerous. That's dangerous. You just identified yourself. It is dangerous. I am an addict. You just identified yourself as the thing that you're trying to get away from. No, don't put addict on your ID. Don't put alcoholic on your ID. Don't put lack. Don't put disease. Don't put I'm a diabetic. Don't put that on your ID. Make the changes. Understand that this is not who you are. The habits, listen, I'm going to say it again. The habits, the word habit and the word habitat. Habitual habitat. Habitat. Habitat is where you live.
Come on.
Right? The habit is the same way. It is where you've been living. It's where you decided to dwell. You think it's home. You think it's home when you don't realize your true home is on the inside. Are y'all understanding me? Are y'all understanding me? So acknowledging all your ways, direct your path. So if I acknowledge you in all the, realize the way is an identity. So if I acknowledge you in everything that I am, right, then acknowledge him in everything that I am, then my path of who I am is always directed to know the truth about me. Listen to me, all right? Go over to Genesis chapter 12 real quick. And I thought I was going to see something in Genesis 12, and then that's how God works. He just, Revelation knowledge is, Revelation knowledge is really revealing yourself to you. It is what it is. When you search them, you're looking for identity. Search scripture in the image of life, John 5:39. And we read John 5:39, and there they were testified me, but verse 40 says, but you will not come to my identity. That means you're stuck. You can actually get stuck in the scriptures and never be nobody. I'll prove it to you. How many times you done quoted scriptures over and over again, ain't nothing happened? Mm-hmm. How many times we done quoted things, we done quoted them, and ain't nothing happened? Because you can get stuck in the scripture and don't realize, then you begin to point. You get the point. Well, Jesus is going to come in and say today. I heard a man praying one time. And he started praying. He thought he was praying deep. He said, Lord, come in. We need you to come in and save the day. Well, what did he do on Calvary? What are we talking about? Right? What is finished? What are we talking about? So now, is it finished? Or is he still working on it a little bit? We need a part two. Right? We need a recap. Or is it done? It's done. It's finished. So, and then Jesus says the same thing. J.Y.C. says, he said, in that day, he said, you ain't going to ask me nothing. You ain't going to ask me nothing. Don't ask me a thing. He said, don't ask me nothing. He said, you're going to go to the Father for yourself. He said, matter of fact, and don't ask me thinking I'm going to do it for you because I'm not. He said, you'll go to the Father for yourself, but you're going to go in my name. And whatever you ask in my name. Trying to get you out the stroller. Mm-hmm. Get you off the training wheels. Let you realize who you really are. So now from the beginning, now we lost it. We didn't got smart, wanted to eat off the tree, and now we live in all kind of ways because we're making stuff up. Now we're making up figments of our imagination. Stuff that never existed, that God did not create. Man took God's power and created some foolishness.
That's what he did.
So every problem that's on the earth right now was man-made.
Yeah, that's right.
Every single one. It's one of those things where once we own up to it and we own up to that we don't know who we are and then we start becoming who we are, then everything will change. Every problem on the earth that exists is man-made. Matter of fact, the stuff that we call problems sometimes, some things that happen in nature, are actually trying to fix the problem that you made. This is what I'm trying to tell you. I'll never forget reading John 3:16 different. It said, for God so loved the world. And I look at the word world, it means a harmony. I thought for years, I was like, the world. No, it's a harmony. It's a harmonious. In the Greek, the way it written, it's a harmonious arrangement. It's a harmony that works together. So it says, for God so loved the system that he made. Because y'all know when he made it, he said it is good. Right. He so loved it that I sent my only begotten son. You know what son and father means, right? I sent the equal version of me in your flesh. Yeah. Down here. Right? So that whosoever believeth on him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. So this the way that God set things up, there's nothing wrong with it. You don't think different, the only thing wrong is the way that we're thinking. When something needs to be lined up, the situation in your life doesn't need to be lined up, you do.
Yes.
Your problem doesn't need to be lined up, you do. Right? The state of where you are doesn't need to be lined up. You need to line up. You have to line up to who you really are. So Genesis, now we over here. Now we all kind of ways, all kind of stuff going on. We just all kind of ways. We done created everything. The first day, right after they ate the tree, they created naked and clothes at the same day. Naked and clothes, the invention of naked and clothes came on the same day. Then they invented hiding. They invented the word hiding. Hiding and scared. All those things were invented on the first day, Jay. Naked, clothes, hiding, scared. The first day, that they ate of the fruit, they invented blaming. And pointing fingers. And not taking the responsibility. They made all that on the first day. They hid, talking about they got dressed, they was naked, they hid because they was scared, they was afraid. And then as soon as he started asking them who told you, they started pointing fingers and say, the man said, the woman told me that. The woman. She did it to me. Then the woman said, nah, that serpent did it to me. And now nobody's saying, hey, you know what? I wasn't paying attention.
Come on.
Nobody says, I got it. That's why I love Jesus. I'm jumping, but that's why I love Jesus. Because Jesus, even though he didn't make the mistakes, even though he didn't eat off the tree, he took the lick for it.
Yeah. Yes.
Woo!
Yes, he did.
Even though he didn't eat off the tree, and even though he was living lined up in his identity, he still took the lick. He's trying to show us something about ourselves.
Yeah.
He still took the lick. Adam, Eve, they didn't take the lick. And if we keep going from there until Jesus, rarely did anybody, if anybody, took the lick. He tried to do the lick with Abraham. Take your son out there, the son I gave you, take him up there and sacrifice him. Take your son up on the mountain and sacrifice him. Is this not a prelude to what God is preparing to do? But now Abraham go on a trip, and Isaac say, hey, wait, hold up. Hey, where the sacrifice? I see the wood, I see the knife. Where the sacrifice at? And then Abraham voluntarily, God didn't tell him this. Go back and read it. Abraham voluntarily says God will provide a lamb.
Right.
So as Abraham says it, so it will be. So now when we get up to his time to do it, God already knows. He get the angel to stop because he already know Abraham is not prepared to go through with it, because Abraham has already said there's going to be a lamb up there. He already knew that Abraham is not prepared to go all the way with this direction. With this direction, trying to show you who you are, with this direction. He is not prepared to go all the way with this direction, because he already told before he go up the mountain, they're going to be a lamb there. If Abraham goes through with the direction, who knows what happens to mankind? If Abraham goes through the direction, who knows? I do know, because I saw it in Jesus, so I know what God would do. He's not telling you to sacrifice something that he's not about to resurrect. Your life right now, those things that he's telling you to put down and to give up and to change about yourself, you don't think that he's trying to resurrect? He said, nobody left houses and lands and children, a mothers, a father, for my sake in the gospel, that won't receive 100-fold now in this time of all the same stuff. He goes on and said, take no thought what you're going to eat, what you're going to wear, what you're going to drink. For my father know you have need of all these things. So I need, but I don't need you to take no thoughts for him. Take no thoughts. He said, but this, watch this, direction. Watch this direction. He says, seek. You, slow down. Seek you first. The kingdom of God.
Come on.
I'm going to slow down. I'm going to say it again. He says, but seek you first.
That's right.
Well, that don't even make no sense. All right, that language. All right, let me slow it down. That language don't even make no sense. Seek first the kingdom of God. Mm-hmm. Seek first. So it makes sense when I say seek first the kingdom of God, right? Like that means the kingdom of God should be searched first, right? But why he throw a U in there? Seek you first the kingdom of God. we read the Bible, we don't have no tone. But put to, seek you first, the kingdom of God and his righteousness, his identity, his right standing, not your righteousness, his right standing, what standing right like him looks like. And then all these things will be added. See, if you're searching for the things, they begin to change your identity. You change from being a son of God, unequal to God, to a house finder. Or you change to being a remedy finder. Uh-huh. Or you change to being a husband finder or a wife finder. You change your identity from who you really are, which will fill those positions, which will fill, which actually makes it, that's why he says, my yoke is, learn of me.
Yep,
that's what he's saying. Coming to me, y'all working hard. Come here. See, you're walking all over the place. You're walking over the place looking for all this stuff, and you're working hard. That's why you work. As soon as you get there, it seems like they move the finish line. You try to get something, and it ain't done no more. Then you get it and realize it ain't the thing that I really wanted. I told somebody the other day, and this is a tough one. I told somebody that one of the biggest things the grace of God is doing is killing your prayers. They say, ooh. I said, yeah, because if you got everything you wanted to get when you prayed for it, well, your life will be in shambles. Because we wasn't praying, thy kingdom come, thy will be done. We say, oh, I want this, Lord. And y'all ain't got to say it for yourself. I'm going to speak for myself. If I got everything that I thought that I wanted, I prayed for, my life would be in shambles. Thank God for his grace to cut off some of my prayers. We get to search it. We're looking and it changes our identity. But seek you first. Kingdom of God, direction to the personality, the direction to identity. Seek you first, kingdom of God, and all these will be added. That means you don't even have to turn around. You don't need to pick them up. You don't have to extend no effort because I'm adding them to you. In actuality, they're coming from you. And I'm changing you from a chaser to a magnet. You've been a magnet the whole time. Oh, okay. Y'all know magnets, right? Magnets. See, you got magnets. Two of the sides stick together, and if you flip one the wrong way, it'll repel. Are y'all understanding me?
Yeah.
So now what has happened is you living on the wrong side of the magnet.
Yeah.
That's the wrong side of the identity.
Yeah.
You live on the wrong side. You're still a magnet. You are right now. Say, I am right now. Come on, say, I am right now. Come on, say it. I am right now. Wherever you're at in your house, say, I am right now. Yeah, you are, and he never changed his mind. But you've been living on this side. So now all the things that's supposed to be coming towards you is repelling. If you play with magnets, you know how that goes. Because it's repelling. Because it's the wrong side. It's still a magnet, but it's flipped to the wrong side. So it's pushing the thing that you're trying to get to you away. Mm-hmm. Just simply because it's flipped on the wrong side. Just simply because it's living on the wrong side. He's reversing your polarity. He's reversing your pull. See, the pull that you created, this pull. This pull, which is actually a push that's pushing things away, we created that. We took some thought from somebody. And the serpent once again. And now we believe that we ain't worthy. We believe that hard work, you know what I'm saying? We got all these sayings that we come up with. And we don't realize that my yoke is easy. My burden is like, take my yoke and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart. In other words, I'm not standing up in these ideas that everybody else got.
Right.
I'm down here on the ground. I'm so far on the ground that I'm submitted. I'm lowly, I'm meek, and I'm lowly in heart. They define meek as taking God's will as perfect. Whatever he brings is God's will. This is what I'm trying to tell you. He said, I'm meek, and you'll find rest for your soul. He said, because my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Yes, that's true. He's not lying. If you find anything that's hard and heavy, that ain't him. That not only is it not him, but you ain't being him. You're not being one with your father. Genesis chapter 12. And I'm reading this right before we come walk out here. The Lord showed me something else. You got to get with me. Oh, you don't have to get with me. You get with yourself. You figure it out. Genesis chapter 12. Now the Lord said unto Abraham, it's not Abraham yet. Now the Lord said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred, thy kinfolks, and from thy father's house. Now remember what a father means, right? Come on now, come on. We can't be skipping. We're putting stuff together, right? Remember when you call somebody your father, you call it equal, right? So now get away from the thing that you've been equal to all this time. Get away from the place that you've been equating who you are to, the place that you've been living, father's house. Father's house is divine, the place that you've been living, and it defines what it is because the equality to you. So now you've been living equal to this, your kindred, your the country you've been in. Watch this. Unto a what? Land that I will show thee. And I've been reading the scripture for the longest, and I'm sitting in the back, and he slowed me down. He said, unto a land that I will show you. I'm going to say it again. He said, unto a land that I will show thee. I'm going to show you. I'm switching, I'm changing the words around. You ready? Ready? And this is how I heard it. It's not unto a land that I'm going to show you. Like I'm going to show you a land. No, I'm trying to get you into a land that I can show you who you are. I'm going to show you.
Yeah.
Unto a land that I will show you. This is what I'm saying. Unto a land that I will show you. See, you thought previously that this is who you were. Your kinfolk, your country, your father's house. That's what you equated yourself to.
Yeah.
All right? But you're bigger than that. You are bigger than that. Not the place, but you are bigger than that. So a land, go into a land that I'm going to show you. So I need you to get out of here so I can show you who you are. I need you to get from where you think, where you've identified yourself to another place where I can show you who you really are. And I will make, now watch this, what he starts talking in verse 2. It's crazy. I thought we were talking about a place. And he starts talking about you. And I will make of you a great nation. And I will bless you. And I will make, and he said nothing about the land yet. He said nothing about a place yet. He said, and I will bless you. And I will make your name great. And you shall be a blessing. Verse 3. And I will bless them that bless you and curse him that curse you, and in you, not in that place.
Uh-huh.
You got to hear what God is saying now.
Yes.
Not over there, not over here. The kingdom of God is within you. In you shall all the families of the earth be blessed. You see me? Verse 4, we got to read now. Now, if you're not paying attention to God, listen to what I'm trying to tell you. And I'm not saying that Abram wasn't paying attention to God. He was moving in the capacity of his revelation of what God was saying to him.
Right?
He was doing, being until according to your faith. What measure you meet is measured unto you. Like, if thou canst believe, all things are possible to him that believes. So it's like, it's according to how you believe.
Right.
So if you're believing a certain way, right? Then you'll see it a certain way. So Abraham departed as the Lord had spoken to him. So he left. And it didn't mean that the Lord wasn't telling him to leave, right? And who went with him?
Lot
went with him. Well, Lot represent
that
old identity.
Yeah.
Lot represent the father's house, the kindred, and the country.
Yep.
So now Abraham leaves. I know he didn't catch it now because he leaves, but still brings that old identity with him.
That's good, Montreal.
He can't see himself.
That's good.
So Lot went with him, and Abraham was 75 years old when he departed out of Haran. You ready? Next scripture, come on. Abraham took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all their sons that they had together, and the souls that they had gotten in the air, and they went forth to go into this land of Canaan. Into the land of Canaan they came. So now, here we are. We've read it like this for the longest. Abraham is looking for a place that God is about to show him. He's looking for another place that wasn't at the place he was. I'm talking geographical. He's looking for a geographical place. You know what geography is. You know the maps and everything, right? He's looking for another place because obviously God is trying to do something somewhere else. Not knowing that he's trying to show him that he is the land the whole time.
Right.
Unto a land, I'm going to show you. In other words, I'm going to show you that you're the land.
Come on.
Abraham passed through Sichem and Moreh and Canaanite and land. And then in the land, the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, and now watch it. He talked to him again. Verse 7. And he talked to him again. He's not saying nothing about the geography. He tells Abraham, and the Lord appeared unto Abraham and said, unto thy seed, I will give this land. Unto your seed, I'm going to give this identity. I'm going to give, all right, now you got to remember land, right? Land, we know what land is, right? Like land is dirt, huh? What man made out of? Oh, land. Let's put it together. So now I'm showing you who you are. You don't put an opinion there. So Abraham doing his best. I built an altar. I'm going to build an altar because I'm trying to, in my best of mentality, he's trying to use Abraham. This is why Abraham, Moses, David, all the prophets, Elijah, Elisha, Samuel, Eli, David, Solomon is a wise man ever lived. Solomon at the end talking about it's all vanity and vexation. You can go through all of them and none of them could get it done until we get to Jesus. Are you understanding me? Because they're trying to pick up what because of what Adam did. There's a disconnect for them. They don't realize that it's them. So they got to be somewhere. They don't realize that God created them and gave them dominion. I didn't give dominion over there. I'll give you dominion over there. I gave you dominion everywhere. But they don't catch it. So we build an altar. So we keep going. So he removed from thence, verse 8, and mounted the east Bethel, pitched a tent, having Bethel on the west and Hai on the east. And then he built an altar unto the Lord and called upon the name of the Lord. And Abraham journeyed, going still towards the south. So he's still moving. And there was a famine in the land. All right, I'm going through this story real quick. The famine in the land, Abraham went down to Egypt to sojourn there because the famine was grievous. So now he don't realize if you're Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, Abraham's son sold in the day of famine. Y'all know that scripture. I ain't got time to go there. But Abraham's son sold in the day of famine and received 100-fold. It says, and then the Lord blessed him. So now it's growth into identity. Abraham saw the famine and he goes to Egypt because he's trying to get taken care of. He goes to Egypt because he's trying to get what he needed to get because he doesn't know that wherever he is prosperity. Wherever he is abundance. Wherever I am, say it, wherever I am is abundance. Wherever I am is prosperity. Wherever I am is overflow. Because I am there, it has to overflow. We're sitting in the middle of Darrow right now. What you talking about? We're sitting right here in the middle of a place that was not supposed to flourish, but because God dropped a man here that knew who he was, knew who God was, and knew who he was in God, the place has to flourish. It wasn't about buying that land over there or buying this land over here. This land right here. And I'm going to put you in a place that's supposed to be a garbage dump. Just to show you that because you're there, the whole polarity of the land changes. The whole polarity and the whole worth of this land changes just because you're there. You're going to see it in a minute. Abraham go to family land. Of course, he go there. He said, man, he's scared. He said, man, Abraham, I mean, Sarah pretty. They're going to try to take you. So just tell them you're my sister. Right. So they go through that whole process and tell my sister. So Pharaoh give a bunch of good stuff to Abraham. Give him, you know, horses and cows and all kind of stuff. Because and then all of a sudden plagues hit. They say, verse 16, and he entreated Abram well for her sake. He has sheep and oxen, and he has and men servants and maid servants, and she has a camel. He got all that. And then the plague hit them, and they don't just trying to figure out what's going on. Then they finally figure out that, they found out it's his wife. He said, what you doing? That's why this craziness happened. Get out of here with that. And they leave with all the stuff too, of course. You see it? Verse 13. And Abraham went up out of Egypt, he and his wife, and all that he had, and what did it say? And Lot. Verse 13, chapter 13, verse 1. And Lot with him. Genesis chapter 13, verse 1. And Lot with him into the south. So now, when I'm seeing and Lot with him, it's what I'm understanding is that old identity is there. You still don't fully know who you are. You're still living off an old identity. You're still living off of old land. You still got old land customs. You still got old land beliefs living with you. You still got old land, old mindset walking with you as you walk. You still don't fully know that you are recreated. You still don't know that you are a new creature. Here we go. Lot with him into the south. Abraham's very rich in cattle and silver and gold. And when he so he's still journeying. Now he's looking for the land. He's still going to the land. Unto the place where the tent had been beginning, to Bethlehem, and unto the place of the altar, which he had made there at first. And there Abraham called the name of the Lord. Watch this. And Lot also was with him, had flocks and herds and tents. And the land was not able to bear them, that they might dwell together. Listen, and when I see this, I realize that my identity can't take both of us being in here now. It can't take, okay, let's not, take geography out of the picture for a quick second. When God speaks, God shows identity. He shows identity, but when God speaks, he's speaking in dimensions. So you can take this story and flip it like this and see the other meaning in it. Listen to what I'm trying to tell you. So although Abraham and Lot right now physically are beefing, their servants are physically beefing, this is a representation of a beef going on the inside of Abram.
That's right.
Abraham beefing with whether am I in a new place, what's going on, or is Lot still who I am? Is my father's house? Is my kindred country? Is this still who I am? And now it got so bad that it's not able to bear. Abraham got rich. Abraham got rich. Listen to me. Abraham got rich in an unorthodox way. Abraham gets all the cattle and all, everything that he got in an unorthodox way. When the last time we're Christians, we don't believe in lying, do we? When the last time you thought lying was going to get you a blessing? I'll wait. Yet Abraham, it's two things happen. Abraham is fearful. We know that don't look like faith. He's scared and he lied.
Come on.
They got abundance. It came to him. Pharaoh said, give me all that stuff back because you was lying to me. Increase. Mm-hmm. Come on now. Unorthodox. Why? Because it's who he is. Abraham didn't even have to do nothing with it. He could have said that Sarah was his wife. And somewhere along the line, Pharaoh still would have had to give him all that stuff. He still would have had to because of who Abraham is. Are y'all seeing? So now, and the land, right now we're at a place of maturity now. We grow to a place of maturity where both of these thoughts can't live here no more.
Right.
Both of these identities, they can't live here no more now. Now we got the, now we're about to have a struggle. Now we're about to have a fight. Now we got beef. Now we're realizing, oh, wait, hold up, that ain't who I am no more. I know who I am, so I realize that ain't who I am. So now we got beef. Why you been in here so long? Bring them over here. I'm telling you, bring them now. Y'all tell all your people now. We can fix the identity issue. We can fix the identity crisis. Because once you find out who you really are in God, it begins to notice the deceiver. It begins to notice the imposter. It begins to notice the thief. It begins to notice the person that's in the house that's not supposed to be there. Understand me? The land was not able to bear them that they might live, dwell together. For their substance was great, so that they could not dwell together. Verse 7. And there was a strife between the herdsmen. Your herdsmen. Mm-hmm. Your servants. Your thoughts.
Yep.
There was a strife. Now y'all understand me now. There are people that try to look at the Bible and say, oh, these are all parables and allegories. No, they are not. They all actually happen, but there are parables on the inside of actual happening.
That's right.
Are you understanding me? So now, and there was a strife between the herdsmen of Abraham's cattle and the herdsmen of Lot's cattle. There's a war going on with your thought process. Is this who I am? That's who I am. Is this who I am? That's who I am. Is this who I am? That's who I am. Is this who I am? That's who I am. Am I this? Am I that? Is that me? Am I sick? Am I healed? Am I broke? Am I rich? There's a war going on. But it's a good wrestle because now we're no longer normal with something being inside of us that's not us. So now we've noticed. Now we done stood up. Now I'm about to grab a hold of it. Are you understanding me?
Yes.
And this is a strife. Strife ain't always a bad thing when it comes down to trying to figure out your righteousness. Then the Canaanite and the Perizzite dwelled in the land. And Abraham said unto Lot, here we go, you ready? So Abram said unto Lot, so my who I am, who I really am, says to who thinks it's still me, or who I still think I'm part of. You get it? Because remember what Lot represents. So now Abraham said to Lot, watch this. And he said, listen. He said, listen, thank you. He said, let there be no strife. I request, no strife. It's meek and lowly heart sound like, right? Don't sound meek and lowly heart? You find rest for your soul? Humility? And Jesus said, I'm meek and lowly heart. Jesus said, I fight and I slap down. Jesus don't say, meek and lowly heart. Watch. And Abraham, God talks to Abraham because he knows Abraham's temperament and character already. Abraham is already meek and lowly at heart as a man, so I can use him. Come on. I can show him. Let there be no strife, I pray thee, between me and thee. Now we got to realize we only here because God spoke to Abraham. So this is a moment of I could turn up. And under our normal circumstances, rightfully so. You know you're only here because of me, right? You know we wouldn't even be having no herdsmen to be fussing if I didn't let you come with me. This would be our conversation. What is wrong with you? Why are you cutting up? Because you know you're only here because I brought you here. I made you. That ain't what Abraham says. Abraham says, let there be no strife. I pray thee. So we got to learn God's ways. One of his number one characteristics is humility. Why? Because God ain't got to prove nothing to nobody. What do he got to prove to anybody? Where can God have ego? He don't need it. He is. I pray thee between me and thee and between my herdsmen and thy herdsmen, for we be brethren. See, you breaking it down? Let's not, no beef. Right? What verse? We'll be in verse 9. Is not the whole land before thee? Separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Now, I'm learning something from Abraham now because you got to start rebuking. You hollering and screaming and hollering at these thoughts inside your head and trying to rebuke them and cast them down and fight them all the time. Hold on. Meek and lowly at heart. If you be meek and lowly at heart, you might eject some of them in an easy way.
Come on.
Y'all know what I'm saying. You know you done hollered and prayed and cried and screamed and flipped over and everything and then ran trying to get it done and then you get back in the car and it's still right there with you. Set the whole land before thee. I'm talking in a certain way because I'm trying to give a connotation. Separate thyself, I pray thee. Like I pray thee, separate thyself from me. He didn't say, get from around me. You got to separate thyself, I pray thee, from me. Right? And if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. Now he's giving you a choice. Now that don't seem right, do it. Abraham the man. You only here because I brought you here. Humility kick in. Don't look like Jesus. You the king? Well, you said it. And he said, if thou wilt take the left hand, then I will go to the right. And if thou depart to the right hand, I will go to the left. He's given Lot a choice to pick what he want. Because Lot, you ready for this?
Yes.
Still thinks it's about the geography. Oh my gosh, y'all gotta hear me. Your old thinking, your old identity, your old way, which we've been deceived, still thinks it's about being somewhere else. It's still, if it thinks it's about being somewhere else, what's the big picture in that? You still don't know it's you. You still don't know that the blessing is you. You think you're going over to the land to get some blessings. But the actual land will be blessed because you're there.
Come on. Yeah.
Come on. We're reversing the polarity. We're flipping it around because the magnet been like this and it's been repelling stuff. All right? So we flip around so that thing can hit home, right? We reverse. Everybody say, up in your house right now, switch your hand, say reverse. Reverse. I'm switching. I'm switching my thinking about who I am. I'm realizing that place doesn't make me. I make the place.
Yeah.
The place don't bless me. I bless the place.
Yeah.
When I... Yeah. So whatever side you go to. Lot. I pray thee, let's just calm down, man. Look, we ain't got to be fighting like this. So look, here's what we're going to do. right? You go over there, you go to the left, I go to the right. You go to the right, I go to the left. You pick the one. Next scripture. And Lot lifted up his eyes and beheld all the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. Oh, he's looking at it, he said, look good. Now that geography over there, look good. You know, the next revolutionary buzz or next great business thing is gonna happen over there. God dog it, the great next move is gonna happen over there, right? I'm gonna go over there, so I'm gonna be over there, because he still thinking geography. He's still thinking outside, not inside. He's still thinking, I gotta go over there to be somebody and not inside, because that's Abraham's old way of thinking. That's your old way of thinking. Find yourself for a minute. Your old way of thinking, before this moment we've changed our mind, your old way of thinking thought it was something outside of you. I gotta go get that degree. I gotta get that relationship. Or if I just get this much money, I'll be okay. If I just get this car, if I just get over here on this side or get this business, this occupation, then I'll be okay. Well, you don't realize the occupation is blessed because of you.
Yeah.
It's a blessing for you to be in that neighborhood. That's when you pay your house off. Your house will be paid off right then. When you stop thinking that the house is making you, then when you stop believing that the house making, that's when you pay it off like that. I guarantee you. Because the neighborhood, the house is blessed because you're there, not the other way around. God ain't bless you with no house. God bless the house with you. God bless you with a new car. No, he didn't. He blessed that car dealership with you. God bless that car dealership by letting your money mingle with it. Y'all better recognize what I'm talking about right now. Y'all better recognize that the polarity is changing. You better recognize when I show up, the blessing shows up there. And Lot lifted his eyes, beheld the plain of Jordan, that it was well watered everywhere. And behold, the Lord, this is before the Lord, and he's trying to make a point. Behold, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah, even as the garden of the Lord, and like the land of Egypt, as thou comest into Zoar. Next scripture, in verse 11, then Lot chose him all the plain of Jordan, because it looked good. And Lot journeyed east, and they separated themselves one from another. And so you got to understand what your old self, what your identity outside of knowing that you're one with God, outside identity knowing that it's really about you in the first place, knowing that I need to acknowledge my God in all my identity, right? When you got that old way, you acknowledge the other things with your ways, acknowledge the other ideas with your identity, then you begin to try to pick the good thing. I'm going to pick this school. I'm going to pick that school because they got a good program. I'm going to pick this person because they got their stuff together. Might be beating you up all day too. You never know. I'm going to pick this job and that thing. And that I'm going to get that because you're identifying yourself. You think if I could just get over there, I'd be okay. So Lot chose and they separate themselves one from the other. Verse 12. And Abraham dwelt in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelt in the cities of the plain, and the pitched twin toward Sodom, and the men of Sodom were wicked, and the sins of the Lord was exceeding. Watch this. God renews his covenant. I see the top line in mind. Verse 14, the Lord said to Abram, after Lot was separated from him, the Lord said to Abram, after that Lot was separated from him. So now God begins to talk to him about who he is again. Listen, he begins to show him identity, because now I done got that old identity that you've been holding on to out of you. Lift up now thine eyes. And look from the place where you are. Y'all got to catch what he's talking about you. I need you to look from the place where you are. Right? Look from you. Don't look now. Don't look at all these lands now from what you used to be. Don't look at all these lands from what you, who you thought you used to be, who you thought you were. No, I've showed you who you are. I'm showing you who you are now from the place where you are. So look from the eyelids of who you really are, not who you think you are, not who these other things have told you are. But I need you to look from the place. Remember now, the place is a person. From the place where thou art, northward, southward, eastward, and west. Well, God, dog, what other direction is there? North, south, east, and west. He said, I'll send them. He told Apostle, I'll send them from the north, south, east, and west. Yeah. That's it right there. He said, I'll send them from the north, south, east, and west. I'll bomb cars and they'd be glad to drive. They'd be landing in the airport in New Orleans and better than landing and say, where's Darrow? What does this sound like? Mm-hmm. Look up from your identity now. Pick up your eye, lift up thine eyes, and look from your true identity, because you don't have that fake identity with you no more. Like gone now. The old thought process gone. Verse 15. For all the land which thou seest, to thee I will give it. And to thy seed forever. Verse 16. And I will make of thee. Now he's talking to him again. He's not even talking about the land anymore. He said, look, wherever you look at, I'm going to get that to you. Come on. Let's play a game. Oh, that land over there, that's what I'm going to give to you. Wherever you look, because it's you. It's not the geography, it's you. And I will make thy seed. He started talking to him again. I will make thy seed as the dust of the earth. He's talking about land again. Woo! And that if a man number the dust of the earth, then shall thy seed also be numbered. Verse 17, arise, walk through the land in the length of it and in the breadth of it, for I will give it unto thee. And verse 18, then Abraham moved his tent, came and dwelt in the plain of Mamre, which is Hebron, and built there an altar of the Lord. He's trying to get it. Abraham trying to get it, right? And further on, we know that God changed his name from Abram to Abraham. But you have to understand that he said, wherever you, I need you to walk on this land. I need you to walk on it for a purpose. Because wherever you set your foot at, that's yours. It's not when you set your foot on it, you'll be blessed because you're there. No. When you put your foot on it, it'll be yours because you are it. The children of Israel, when God told Moses to go and talk to Pharaoh and say to tell him, let my people go and to get them out. He said, who am I going to tell your children? Because he didn't qualify himself. He didn't see himself as a child. He saw himself in one of Pharaoh's kids. He said, who am I going to tell them? He said, tell them that I am identity, that I am told you to come over here.
That's right.
You understand? The first thing he leads off with when he's trying to free him is identity. He don't lead off with a plan. He leads off with a man. With an identity. And then the children of Israel. Listen to me. Find yourself real quick. The children of Israel walked for 40 years trying to find a place that's a 3-day journey because they didn't realize that they are the promised land.
That's powerful.
So, you have been confused and walking for so long because you didn't realize it was right there where you are. And so now, because you got a land that's barren, or some things might not seem so flourishing in your mind around you right now, right? You get to complain and say, well, God, send me somebody else. Or God, send me somewhere else. Or God, send me something else. And he's really trying to tell you, if you realize who you were, all this will transform. If you realize who you really are, all this would change. Can you understand that God might have sent you to that land for you to make that land flourish?
That's right.
Amen. Amen.